The past few years have been a roller coaster for U.S.-Cuba relations. In 2015, President Obama began to soften a long-standing travel ban, but just 2 years later, the Trump administration clamped back down. Now, some marine researchers from Florida are trying a form of science diplomacy. They're working with their Cuban counterparts to study the impact of oil spills in the Caribbean, and what they learn could benefit both countries. Reporter David Levin has the story.
In Old Havana, music spills out of clubs and echoes across the streets as antique cars putter by. Many of them date back to the 1950s, to the Cuban Revolution. It's like the city is stuck in time. But in the waters of the Gulf of Mexico surrounding Cuba, oil companies are looking decidedly to the future. They're drilling wells in deeper and deeper water off the southern U.S. and Yucatan Peninsula. Scientist David Hollander thinks it may be a matter of time before another huge spill devastates the Gulf. And if that happens, Cuba will undoubtedly feel its effects.
In the event of an oil spill, oil doesn't know a northern boundary from a southern boundary or eastern or from a western boundary. There's a lot of connectivity within the regions of the Gulf and among the regions of the Gulf.
Hollander is a geochemist at the University of South Florida. He leads a team of researchers called Sea Image that studies the long-term effects of oil spills in the Gulf. They're trying to figure out the best way to respond to the next big one. And that involves going beyond American shores and looking at how spills damage the Gulf as a whole. The team has already spent more than 6 years doing field work in U.S. waters. They've also partnered with the Mexican government to look at their oceans. But that adds up to only two-thirds of the Gulf.
Cuba was kind of the missing piece. It's a central location where water comes in between the Yucatan Peninsula and the west coast of Cuba, and water goes out between Cuba and Key West. And if you want to talk about the Gulf as an entity, you really have to have some information about Cuba itself.
Steve Morawski runs Sea Image along with Hollander. He says that all the water in the Gulf flows past Cuba at some point, but researchers still don't know much about the deep ocean that surrounds the island. Since the Cuban Revolution, U.S. scientists have been barred from working there, and scientists in Cuba haven't had access to the tools they need to study areas deeper than 200 feet. Just off the Cuban coast, the bottom drops down to more than 1,000 feet. And what happens there can have a huge impact on the rest of the Gulf.
Cuba and South Florida are only separated by 90 miles. If they have an accident, it's going to be in our waters sooner or later. If we have an accident, it's going to be in their waters. So we share this mutual concern for the impacts of a particular catastrophic event.
That sort of mutual interest inspired the Sea Image team to try something radical. They're launching a campaign to reach across political boundaries. And they're starting to work with Cuban scientists directly. After slogging through nearly a year of red tape, they're kicking off a series of research cruises from Havana.
Hi, I'm Ben.
Claudia,
nice to meet you.
In Havana's harbor, Cuban and American scientists meet for the first time on the Weatherbird 2, a U.S. research vessel. They're doing joint fieldwork offshore, along with a group of 18 students from all over Cuba. Together, they'll grab sediment samples from the deep ocean and gather fish living there as well, all to establish a baseline for the health of the region and to tease apart how it might be damaged in an oil spill. Morawski watches the group file onto the deck of the Weatherbird.
A cruise like this hasn't been done in 50 years, and hopefully, you know, this will be a sign of continued cooperation and more normal, you know, scientific relationships.
For me, it's a great experience. I have 20 years of experience working in the sea, but never have I been able to go out from the border. It's like an empty page that we have to fill.
This is Michael Armenteros, an oceanographer at the University of Havana. He's leading the Cuban side of the collaboration. And for him, the work comes with a certain amount of urgency.
Mainly because we have a really critical areas in Cuba that can be really damaged with the oil spill, like, for instance, hotels, marinas, big cities like Havana that is facing the Gulf of Mexico.
He says that any spill that reaches both the Cuban and the U.S. coastlines would devastate tourism, the economy, and marine life. And since both nations rely heavily on the Gulf's fisheries, it could impact an entire seafood industry.
You know, we share so many things.
Again, Steve Morawski.
It's very likely that Cuba is the source of a lot of the larvae for spiny lobsters, for example, that occur in the Florida Keys. Likewise, species like tarpon and bonefish that are very important to the fisheries of South Florida may have their origin in Cuba as well. And so that's why we're very interested in understanding the interrelationships, in particular between South Florida, the Cuban coast, and the Yucatan, which are all relatively close together.
As oil exploration grows in the Gulf, it'll be especially important to have international partnerships like this one. David Hollander says that working with experienced Cuban scientists makes it suddenly possible to dig into big questions from two sides at once.
I would say if we didn't have these kind of strong partnerships, the science would not be nearly as comprehensive as it is. I think this is vital to manage the Gulf of Mexico as a resource for all of us.
The team plans to continue these cruises throughout 2018. In the process, they're hoping this type of science diplomacy can bring all three Gulf nations closer together and help protect the marine ecosystem they all share. For Here and Now, I'm David Levin.